Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
What'd you think? I did, and somebody put it down there for me, so thank you. So, brownie points, yes. Yes. Hey, good morning, everyone. People that don't know me, I'm Wayne Chamberlain, and I have been looking forward to this day, this opportunity to be up here. So, get my wits about me a little bit, but, you know, saying you want to come up here and then getting all your ducks in a row is a little bit bigger job, so hang in there with me. So, I want to thank Michael for the opportunity. When we, talked to Michael about speaking, he said, you know, you can do several things. You can give a testimony, you can give a devotion, you can give talk about somebody, about a mentor in your life, or you could even do a Bible study. So, mentor. I don't know if you were here last week, but this was something I was talking about. And, of course, Rick talked about mentor, and I thought, well, it's too late to jump ship. I got to stick with what I have. So you're going to hear a little more about mentoring this morning. But anyway, that's how God works, I think. So, Rick did an excellent job last week. So I'm going to start out a little bit with a mentor in my life. In 1970, Nebo Christian Church was holding a revival. And it was late fall, and Nebo Christian Church is where I grew up. I would have been fourth generation of my family attend there. And I don't know if revival, we don't hear much about revivals anymore, but a revival was set up to last for a week, 2 weeks, could go longer, but it was to inspire active members, and it was also to gain new members, and it was set up to ask people for repentance in their lives. And in many revivals, you had a guest speaker, and this guest speaker would be brought in the revival and preach each evening. So in 1970, we had a speaker named Phil Young. Some of you may have heard of Phil Young. He was a graduate of Lincoln Bible Institute, which is in Lincoln, Illinois. He preached for 70 years. He held 450 evangelistic meetings. He also taught 7 years in St. Louis Christian College. He taught classes on the Bible, history, and archaeology. Phil also had led 16 trips to the Holy Lands, overseas the Holy Land. He passed away to be of the Lord in 2019 at the age of 89. He was able to preach the Sunday before his death. So another thing I want to bring up, to book a good evangelist, you would have to book this individual usually a year to maybe 2 years in advance. And this was the case for Mr. Young. So the revival started. And during that week of revival, Phil and I kind of had a connection. So he asked me, he said, I'd like you to go to St. Louis Christian College at the weekend, which would be Friday evening and Saturday, and I want you to go down and look at the college. And, you know, I said, the Lord had been speaking to me, and I said, sure, I'll go. So Sunday evening we left, and we headed his way down to his home, and we probably got at his home, I'm guessing around 11 o'clock that night. And he took me to his home. He took me downstairs where I was going to be spending the night. And he left. And when he came back, he said, he asked me this strange question. He said, "Do you wrestle?" And I said, "No, not really." I said, "I wrestle my brother and I wrestle the neighborhood boys. And we wrestle in PE, but, you know, that's about it." And he said, "Would you like to wrestle?" And I thought, well, and I don't know about you gals, but guys usually don't say no. They don't back down from a challenger there. And I said, "Yeah, sure." And, you know, I thought, after all, this guy's a preacher. He's old, and I'm in pretty good shape. I honestly am. I just we just finished football season, and it was my junior year. And Rick said, "You're not supposed to have be. I'm supposed to be the center of this of your sermon." But I was in good shape. I was really. So, Phil said, "I'll be right back." And I said, "Okay." So he brings me a pair of shorts and a T-shirt. And while he was gone, I got to looking around the basement, and there is a full-size wrestling mat down there, a workout area, and other stuff, equipment. I thought, you know, that's odd. I wonder what all this stuff is down here. So anyway, so we wrestled in the standing position. We started, and at the very beginning, I soon understood that this old man was out to put me on my back. I could not get away from him. I didn't know nothing about wrestling, but, you know, within minutes, he had floor burns or mat burns on both elbows and my knees. And I had no intention of trying to pin him down, but that was not his thought either. This was no friendly wrestling match. You know, Phil was just like Jacob in Genesis 32. Jake was wrestling with the angel, and Phil would not let go. And luckily, we didn't wrestle till daybreak, so I will put that in. So, but for some reason, Phil said, "All right, I'm ready to call it a day." And I thought, boy, am I glad. I said, but I can honestly say, I don't think he pinned me, but I was very humbled after this ordeal. And it was even odd. The next day, nothing was said about this wrestling match, but I did go home. I did look at the campus, and you know, and I will put in here, the Lord was speaking to me. He said, you know, "There's something in your life I want you to do." And actually, I didn't turn away from God, but I didn't go to the college here is what I'm trying to get at. So, you know, God was putting some words in my ear. But anyway, I will say, though, when we went back to Nebo, I did have a bruised ego, so about this whole ordeal. So you may be asking, why this long story? Well, I didn't realize at the time, but Phil was being a Christian mentor for me. In his preaching, his lifestyle as a full Christian witness, and I saw nothing an example of what Christ is, and that's actually what Christ is asking of us. I kept in contact with Phil for many years. I wrote him and asked him for his sermons, and he sent me 50 sermons on the doctrines of Christian faith. I'm very proud to have this. Now, the only problem with Phil was his sermons were pretty lengthy. You know, 50 minutes was not uncommon, and usually he would go into an hour. So this morning, one of his sermons was Baptism to Christ for the Remission of Sins. Now, so I worked on this, and, you know, I had to cut it down. So, and that's normally not like me, because I'm short to the point. So he starts out with something that I never heard him preach this sermon. So He's probably saying, boy, you're messing this up, son. But anyway, he said, five times in the Bible, God proposes water test. So we have a picture up of Noah here, and this is going to be the first test. But God tests us in many ways. And we're going to look at how God used water here. So very one that's very common is the worldwide flood of Noah's day in Genesis 6, 7, and 8. God gives account of God testing Noah for 120 years. And in Genesis 6, verse 17, he says, I'm going to bring water, flood waters onto the earth to destroy all life under the heaven. God is testing Noah here. Noah had no idea what a flood was. He had no idea what a destruction it could cause. Even better, he built a boat, a huge boat, on dry ground. So we're going to look at number two, the crossing of the Red Sea. I'm sure everybody at has any Bible knowledge. This is another good story, the crossing of the Red Sea. Moses and the Israelites had themselves backed into a corner. In Exodus 14, verse 15, God tells Moses to stop crying. He said, Moses, will you stop crying to me? He said, now get moving. He said, God will provide a way to cross the sea. Another water test. Even though there was no apparent way for them to escape, God told Moses to get his people ready to cross over the Red Sea and trust God, and he would provide a way. Number three, the drinking test of Gideon's army. This is another great story. I like this story. Gideon is going against the Midianites. God tells Gideon that he has too many soldiers. Gideon had 32,000 men, and he was going against the Midianites, and they were, it doesn't say how many, but said they were as thick as locusts. And so I'm guessing that's maybe more than 32,000. But anyway, God tests Gideon, said, get your guys down. He said, I want you to lower your number. And by another water test, just how men drank water from the water's edge, he got them down to 300. God tested Gideon. He said, I want a small number of men. And when the victory is won, the victory would be, no doubt, from God. Number four, the miraculous cure of Naaman. Another good story here. Naaman is, he's a great commander. And he's the king's, king of Aram. He is a very well known. And the story here is to test Naaman to be humble, also to be obedient and accept a simple order. Even though Naaman was full of pride and self-will, he is aware of God's power. He asked, he knew that God could heal him. And he finally lowered himself and went down to the muddy Jordan seven times to cure his leprosy. Once again, a water test. Another good story is number five, the blind man who went to the pool of Siloam. We know very little about this man. He was blind from birth. Had no specific sin that had caused his blindness. And after Jesus had made some mud and put it on man's eyes, he told the man to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. And because of his faith and obedience, the blind man was sent home with his sight restored. Okay, we look at all these five instances here. These were God-given commands. And all these commands, we would say that these people did not ignore these commands. None of the individuals in above cases would have been blessed if they had disobeyed God. But through faith, they obeyed and were blessed. So will be. We will be. Bob, am I making a noise here? Down? Okay. Okay, Phil jumps over to another part of his sermon. And before we get into this, the story, the sermon actually was talking about for the redemption of sins and for remission of sins through baptism. And I come across a story of a young preacher. he's fresh out of Bible college, and he'd just taken a new role as a minister at a small church. And on this third Sunday, he got the chance to conduct a baptism. And his job this Sunday was to take care of the Lord's communion, Lord's meditation at that time. And he's pretty nervous. You know, I can understand that. He was trying to get everything right. And so he decided he's going to have baptism first. And he got the convert there, and he said, into the water. And he said, "Now I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." And then as he lowered the person down in the water, he added, "And now drink ye all of it." So, you know, if we're, guys, you know, that's why I am. I got things, I'm up here, I want things I mean to say well, but sometimes it doesn't get in all the right order. So, but this morning we are going to take a moment here to look at baptism. We're going to look at the purpose and design as we study the New Testament. Once again, water uses water as a test to see if we're willing to obey God's commands. And also, we're going to look at some example through the New Testament teaching. First one I'm going to pick out, everyone is aware of this, Matthew 28, the baptism of the Great Commission. The Great Commission has a lot packed into it. But Christ told disciples, "Go ye, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Get out there, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." You know, many of people out here want to test God on the importance of baptism. We, as believers, look at baptism as a way to unite us with Jesus Christ. It also symbolizes submission to Christ. And we're going to always ask the question, are we willing to, question God about this baptism? The biggest thing we need to do, we need to take this task that has been given to us and through the churches from the ages. Okay, so this is just one thing I'd like to share morning. The second one is the baptism of repentance for remission of sins. Baptism was not new to the Jews. The word baptism for the Jewish word was tevela. This is what they would have said instead of the word baptism. Tevela meant the full body immersion. They understood that when this word was brought up, that it was the whole body was completely immersed. Jews, they became ritually defiled by contact with a corpse or other means of ways of being unclean, they would go to a mikvah, another Jewish word. And mikvah was a place that was found at the Holy Temple, and it was a bath used for ritual immersions. This immersion represents a change in the status in regards of purification and restoration. After this immersion, a Jew was able to re-enter the synagogue to worship God. Now, John the Baptist, he began his preaching and baptizing. One thing different was he was speaking to Jews to repent and ask God for forgiveness. Initially, Jews would baptize those that were converts to Judaism. You would never baptize a Jew. John was asking that these Jews consider being baptized for repentance and forgiveness, to turn from sin and turn away from God. To baptize a Jew was a really radical departure from the Jewish custom. John was calling for the Israelites to renew their covenant with God through this act. We're going to go to 3 now. John 3, verse 5, it says, "You must be born again of water and the Spirit." Another story that I'm sure you're aware of was a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And this story, Nicodemus asked some questions. He said, "How can a man be born again? And he was not, you know, he could not understand this. He said, surely he cannot enter the second time in the mother's womb. And Jesus replied, it's very simple. He said, except one be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except one be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The water mentioned in the here represents the cleansing act of immersion or baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. When one is born anew, he becomes a new creature in Christ, a child of God and an heir of God. One more in Acts 2:38. Another one that we as a Christian church look at. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. The first two verbs here says repent and be baptized. These are commands from God. Repent. Turn from sin. Turn to Christ. We see baptism first here, and then we'll see the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is another great gift that God so freely gives us, as well as God's grace. We're going to move on here, and we'll look at Acts 22, verse 16. Arise and be baptized and wash away the sins. This is a story about Paul, Saul, after his vision was restored, his conversion from Judaism to Christianity, and a guy named Ananias tells Saul, he said, you know, you have been chosen to be a witness for God to all men that of things that you've heard. And he's asking Saul to get his work in order. And he said, now that you've been healed and your sight has come back, he said, I want you to consider being baptized. He said, what are you waiting for? And he gives Paul the invitation to get up and to be baptized. And once again, wash away your sins, calling on his name, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Another verse there is, we look at is Romans 6, verses 3 and 4. It says, buried with him by baptism into death. When a penitent believer is buried with the Lord in the water grave of Christian baptism, he is raised and he walks a newness of life. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ are appropriately represented. All right. The last one I'm going to look at here is 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. And even so doth baptism now save us. Verse 21, it says, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you, also not for the removal of the dirt from the body, but from the pledge of good conscience toward God. It saves you by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In baptism, we identify with Jesus Christ. Baptism separates us from the lost and gives us a new life. We put our faith in Christ with his death and resurrection. Once again, these seven verses that we looked at and we studied this morning all help us to understand the purpose and the importance of baptism. Once again, preparing for this, I have, you know, I don't know how you guys, you read stuff, you collect things, and I'd also had a, this was not from Phil, but there was a gentleman named James E. Smith, and this guy, man, he has got his game ready on baptism. He found 41 reasons in the Bible that speaks about baptism, why we should consider being baptized. 41. And once again, I'm not going to bring all 41 of them up, but they're short and sweet, and they're down to the point. And I just would like to read a few of these as we wrap things up this morning. So I'm sure those of you who've been baptized, it was an important moment in your life. It was a spiritual awakening in your life, and all of us have stories, I'm sure, you can tell about the baptism, which is very important. But I'll just give you some of the, like I say, some of the reasons. One is because Jesus commanded it. That is found in Matthew 28. We talked about that. Jesus makes that very clear. Number two is Jesus modeled it. Did you know that Jesus walked 70 miles to get to John the Baptist in the River Jordan? There's not too many of us say that we walk 70 miles to be baptized. So this is a model that Jesus set for us to have. Number three is because baptism is coupled with faith and linked into salvation in the teaching of Jesus. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. This is in Mark 16, 16. Number four, because baptism is linked with repentance and forgiveness of sins in the teachings of the Bible, of the apostles. This is Acts 2:38. Also in Acts 2:38, we see because baptism is essential in receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is always around us, continually at our side. Is a great gift that we have and will have until our death as well. So praise God for that. Number six is because in baptism, our sins are washed away. We know that the water doesn't wash away those sins, but it is the blood of Jesus Christ. Number seven, because in baptism, we call on the name of the Lord. Here we see this in Acts 22:16. It says, "Arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord." Number eight, because in baptism we are brought into this spiritual contact with the blood of Jesus. This is something else you kind of need to get your hooks into, that we are baptized into his faith, or excuse me, baptized into his death. And this is where his precious blood comes involved and makes a difference so much for our new life. And I'll give you one more, because in baptism, we act out the resurrection of Jesus. Very, very appropriate act of going into the water, coming out as a new individual. So we've been rolling along here, and I just want to close here. The baptism can be looked at many different ways of its importance. And the one that probably stands out to me the most is its symbolic death, its burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I hope I'm not running this aground, but when we are baptized, we go under the water. We are dead. We're dead to sin. And then we are actually buried. That's what immersion is all about. We are completely covered. That person comes out brand new, and brand new life. And it's something that it's hard to explain until you've gone through that act. And it is a way that we are resurrected into a life that, you know, Christ had planned for, and also God as well. Okay, so hopefully this is a short, sweet for you today. I am going to make a offer of invitation. If you guys want to come up and close me with the music, I will say that if God's word has spoken to you today concerning your relationship with God as your personal Savior, and we're all at, you know, kind of different paths in our life. Many of us accepted Christ, and sometimes we need to get a little knock on the head and say, you know, there's some things I need to do. God is wanting to hear that today as well. But if this baptism is completely new to you, and you're ready to accept this invitation that God offers, one of the elders will be up here this morning. He says, please come. Please come and speak to one of their elders, and they would be more than happy to speak to you about maybe the decision you need to make. So we will end with a word of prayer, and then we'll have our last closing hymn. So, dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that you do have a way for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, through baptism. Lord, we know that baptism doesn't save us. We know only that your grace and your love that saves us. But in what we spoke about this morning, baptism is a way that we can show that we are listening and that we want to be a part of your church. It's so good that you have so much love for us, and that we can never thank you enough. We thank you for once again the love of your Son, and we just give you praise and glory in these all these things. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.